I'm not Mike.
She thought she was going to get out of this tonight. We're not going to let her do it, are we?
He's going to need a new place to stay tonight. Anybody want to volunteer?
I just want you to see the real power behind the podcast. All I do is teach doctrine, but to get it out, this is where it comes from. So I just want her to take a minute. Yeah. I'd like her to take just a second. This is my sweetheart, the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life, right here.
It's about to get nasty. I feel like an appetizer. You know, you go to the restaurant, and they say, well, you need to get an appetizer to help you get hungry. And I'm thinking, why do I need that? I came to the restaurant because I was hungry. These guys came to hear you, not me. So the appetizer is a little too salty, a little too greasy. We probably ought to just get to you.
Tell them about what you were going to talk. She had the Lord reveal to her what she's supposed to say tonight. We're not going to let her get away from that revelation.
That's what I get for opening my mouth. Here was the deal. He says, you're going to talk, aren't you? I says, absolutely not. And so I said, Heavenly Father, I'm not talking, but if you want me to say anything, you better tell me because I don't have a clue. And bing, 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 bing. And I thought, oh, shoot. And I won't tell Mike a word. And he came down and he says, you're pretty happy. And I says, well, I just had a little revelation. I get excited when I get those because I don't always get those. Well, I probably do. I just don't realize it. And so, gosh, my mind just went blank. I guess I better sit. Oh, I guess basically, you make me feel like I can't move. Here comes dinner. Forget the appetizer. Dinner's on its way up. I guess as I was thinking about that, because he kept insisting I was going to talk, and I said, I don't think so. And probably the greatest thing that I can think of that has helped me in my life is that of taking time to be holy. I think Satan has done a very good job of keeping us distracted and keeping us too busy. The perfect acronym is being under Satan's yoke, busy. And we feel like we're not good enough. We've got so much to do, and yet there's just not enough time, and we're doing good things. I mean, we're not going to lose our temple recommend over all these things we're doing. They're just not the better or the best things that we could and should be doing. So I found that when I take time, not make time, but I take it, I take time each morning to be holy. And I find as I do that, the rewards are great. I spend time each morning with my Father in heaven. And I ask for his help and his guidance. I ask him where he wants me to read today in case I meet somebody that needs something. And when I'm living right and doing my part, he answers those pleas. When I've maybe been a little ornery to Mike, that never happens, does it? No. If I were to be ornery to Mike, then I probably wouldn't get those so readily. But I think that is my most sacred time of the day, is when I get up and spend time one-on-one with my Father in heaven. I thought of the scripture where it says, be still and know that I am God. And I've learned from Mike and other things that when you break apart the scriptures, they come alive. I spent years reading the scriptures, and I didn't learn a whole lot, but I was obedient. I read every morning, just like I should. I couldn't tell you what I read, but I read. And then I found there's a better way, and that's studying. And that's looking at each word individually, one by one. Because that's the way the Savior teaches, is one by one. So if I were to take just a minute or two, I was asked to speak in state conference once, and the state president said, "You've got 13 minutes." And I said, "President, you and I know there isn't a woman alive that can get a point across in 13 minutes or less." But I did it, so I'll just take a couple of minutes of Mike, because you really don't want to hear me. Anyway, where was I? Were you listening? Okay. I was taking time. Oh, yes, one by one. That scripture, he's got the photographic memory. I don't, but that's all right. I'm working on it. The scripture, "Be still and know that I am." If we take the "be" part of that scripture, "be" is now, in the present. Satan wants us to go to the past and remember all the bad things that we've done. He wants us in the future where we can't really have a whole lot of control. But God is in the now. So we just need to be in the present. The second word there is still. Be still. And I looked up the word still. I love to read the scriptures with a dictionary because I found that I thought I knew what all these words meant, but I don't. I know maybe one definition. But one of the definitions in Hebrew is, for still, is hush. Shh. I have a hard time with that sometimes. But I found out when I am quiet, I can hear the still small voice. I can hear Father talking to me. So when we be still and know, and who do we want to know? We want to know the Savior. We want to know Father. We want to know what our mission and calling is for that day. I just take one day at a time. So if we be still and we will know that I am. And who is I am? When Moses was called up to the mount, the Lord told him, "I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and I want you to lead the Israelites out of Egypt." Moses says, "Me? Who am I to go to Pharaoh?" And he says, "You know, I want you to do this." And Moses says, "Well, they're going to say, who are you and who sent you?" And the Lord says, "Tell them that I am sent you." So when we be still and know that I am, we take that time to be holy. We will come to know Father. We will come to know who we are. We will come to know who our neighbor is and what our calling is. And we will come to know him in such an intimate way that we'll wonder what took us so long to be still and know I am. I testify to you that God loves you. He's waiting for you. Just you, one by one. He always ministers one by one. I invite you to take time to be holy every day. It's not about quantity of time. It's about quality of time. Some of you are at a point where you have little children and time is not available so much by yourself. I had a friend that had to go sit in the bathroom to read her scriptures. And even then there was knocks on the doors and knocks on the doors. So it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you take time. It's not important to take time to be holy. It is critical to take time to be holy. I testify that to you, that if you do that, take time every day for the Savior, he'll come and you will know that he is God. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
May I be excused?
Well, brothers and sisters, thank you for coming here tonight. This is remarkable. I've thought about this today, and who's going to be here and who you are. I think this is so unique that a group of gatherers have come together. This is a time of gathering. The time of scattering has passed. We're about to enter into a new dispensation. We're about to end one called the Day of the Gentile. We're about to enter a new one called the Day of Israel. By and large, the Day of the Gentile is an Aaronic priesthood preparatory foundational day, call it part A if you want, of the dispensation of the fullness of times. There is Melchizedek priesthood that is operative. People have received ordinations in the Day of the Gentile. But the Melchizedek priesthood will really be manifest in the day that's about to dawn. If you watch closely in your temple endowment ceremony, you can see that the robes represent priesthood authority. Where the robes placed represents either Aaronic or Melchizedek. If you'll watch the next time you go through the temple and see where you're at and what time represented by the various rooms that you proceed through, you'll see that what I'm saying is true. And that we're about to enter into a day of miracles that will eclipse anything you have read about in all of the standard works of the church. We ain't seen nothing yet. Jeremiah says this, that the days will come when we'll no longer talk about the children of Israel being brought through the Red Sea. You can read about this in the 16th chapter of Jeremiah. All through our written books, our scriptures, the Book of Mormon, the New Testament, the Old Testament, even the Doctrine and Covenants, the premier miracle that people talked about for thousands of years and still talk about today is the parting of the Red Sea, isn't it? It's the one that the Lehi colony referred to over and over again. It's that miraculous deliverance of the house of Israel from the Egyptian armies. Jeremiah says, you're in a day where we won't talk about that anymore. And the reason we won't talk about that is the miracle that we'll talk about is the return of the tribes of Israel out of the north. And that miraculous return will eclipse, and all of the minor other miracles, sub-miracles that will be a part of that will be so dynamic that for generations from that time forward, that's what they'll talk about. And you and I, brothers and sisters, are living in that time when the preparations right now are being made for that to happen. That's going to require a group of men and women who have priesthood power that can perform miracles, that can command the elements, and can have power over time and space. And three-dimensional, five senses of the telestial world will be a thing of the past. We'll move into multi-dimensional space and many more senses that we don't use in the telestial world will be open to us. You are the group that are being groomed for that. Why do you think you're here? Why do you think the Lord has whispered? Have you felt drawn to the doctrine of Zion and her establishment? Have you felt that? Have you felt like this is a part of you? Have you felt or sensed that this is in your future? You have, or you wouldn't be here. the podcast, here's an interesting thing about the podcast. You all know you've heard the story. We didn't have any plans on this. Margie and I have served 3 missions together. We went to Mongolia, we went to Central Philippines, we went to New Jersey, and because I'm retired CES, my job was to teach institute classes in all those places. And Margie's job, especially in developing nations, was to put together a physical preparation program, because in the Philippines and in Mongolia, they had no idea about food storage or any of those physical preps. They knew nothing about it. The mission president, when you get to be a senior couple in a lot of places, you'll sit down in the mission president, especially in third world countries, and they'll say, take a look around, you see what needs to be done and do it. That's your call. True. Because I was retired CES, I had that label, see, wow, institute. You know, ooh, we're going to do that. So for 3 missions, I taught institute. As we left these mission fields, the brothers and sisters that were there, that were part of our classes, small groups, weren't big, said, Elder Stroud, do you suppose it would be possible for us to continue to study together? I mean, there are scientific ways now and high-tech ways that we can do that. So we said, sure, let's do that. And so even after we came home from Mongolia, I started meeting weekly on Skype with a stake president there. Wasn't the stake president at the time, but he is now. He's just completing 8 years. We met together. We have met together weekly for 10 years on Skype. And that good man and I have been through every verse of the standard works. Not skipping Leviticus. And especially spending time in Isaiah. You got it, right? Isaiah. And who do you think benefited from that exercise? Me. Because you know what happens on that? And it's the same on the podcast. And you've had this experience. You can't be a teacher in this church for very long and not have the experience of, when you're teaching, having the Holy Ghost reveal to you while you're opening your mouth and saying one thing, and the next thing that comes out, you've never spoken or known before in your whole life. Let me see how many have had that experience. Raise your hand. Sure you have. If you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, you're bound to have that experience. And so we did that. And that began out as a small little email group and 30 people. And, you know, and then we came home and one of our friends said, why don't you do a podcast? And I said, a what cast? And my wife says, what's that? And they got together, and pretty soon, this little high-tech gal here put this together and has just done such a good job. Let me tell you about the podcast. I think you'd be interested in knowing this. I don't tell you this in a way of bragging, because you and I both know this isn't us, right? But Father has taken this to a point where every week we get information from the podcast company that tells us who's listening, where, and how many in number daily, and then we get weekly stats. There's 180,000 podcasts on that company right there. These lessons are number 2. But nobody's more surprised than I am. You know, when Shelley says that you got 21 pages for talk and you got 12 of those talks in a book, I didn't know I had that much to say. Jeez. Number 1 in Christianity and number 2 overall. Now, you might be interested also to know that every 7 days, there's about from 13 to 15,000 downloads and plays every 7 days on these podcasts. Just surprises the heck out of me. But here's what's really surprising. Half of all the podcasts are in Kenya, Africa. Kenya, Africa has more downloads than all of the United States put together. What the heck is going on? And then it goes from there. It goes Kenya, number one, and then the United States, number two. Number three, are you ready? The Democratic Congo, Republic of the Congo. Number four, the UK. Number five, Canada. Number six, Ghana. And then it goes in the first seven countries listed, five of them are the countries that go from Ghana on the west coast of Africa all the way over to Somalia on the east coast. I would just love to know what's going on there, don't you? And I have no idea. But obviously, what we've done there has struck a chord, and people all over the world appear to be benefiting from that. We're so grateful and astonished, frankly, astonished. People said, aren't you worried about putting your email and your phone number out there in public? And frankly, we didn't even think about that. We just thought, well, let's do it, because what am I worried about? 30 people? I know them all, right? And so we've got our phone numbers out there, and we've got our email out there. And here's something else that you would think that we would really get hammered from time to time. Do you know how many times I've heard, do the brethren know what you're doing here? Have you gotten any pushback from the church? Does your state president know what you're doing? How about your bishop? And to all of those questions, I say, I have no idea. I don't know. Shouldn't you ask permission to say some of the things you say? See how we think as Latter-day Saints? Out of all of that, for a year and a half, I had one negative comment. One. And it was a comment that was placed on the podcast site with one of the lessons, and it said, I don't think you're teaching correct doctrine. In fact, I think this doctrine's false. Now, I respond to every email. So my response was, at this point in my life, you may be right. We're all learning together. I never heard another thing. But don't you find that remarkable that there have been no negative things that have come back on that? I just wonder about that. I'm so grateful. Because at this point, I will not argue. And I will not find fault. So I thought maybe you would find some interest in some of those things of what's happening that you're a part of. Where it's going to go from here. We've been impressed by the Spirit that the podcasts need to stay up. The Spirit seems to whisper to us that I will continue to use those as a resource to gather people. But you, Mike, just remember I just use your wretched mouth as a tool. And that's where we need to be. Let's go some scriptures for a minute. Let's go over to 2 Nephi chapter 2. I want to show you what kind of a state you need to be in if you want to obtain the great blessings that the Lord has in store for you. 2 Nephi 4, as Nephi is writing this, he's an old man. He's had all the experiences that you and I want. He's had, as he writes these words, he's had them all. You can name them all. All the things we've talked about, the greater portion of the word. And let's go to 2 Nephi 4, verse 16, and Nephi says this, behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth them continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Those are your key words. You want to be like Nephi. You want to obtain what Nephi saw and heard. And I'll put one other word in there. Handled. Now look at the next verse. Nevertheless, in spite of everything that I've seen and heard, nevertheless, that's what that word means. In spite of everything that's happened to me, and notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, watch this. There's hope for us, isn't there, at this point? My heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. How can a person who's been embraced in the arms of Jesus and found safety in that embrace, who's been born of fire, how can a person say, oh, wretched person? Well, you better. Because what he's doing is he's establishing a pattern for us, brothers and sisters. And in his words, what he's doing is telling us what we need to be, what we need to feel like, what we need to do and say in order to obtain what he's seen and heard and handled. That's the key. It's a pattern. My heart sorroweth because of my flesh. See, he's had the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. This is a holy man. He's in his 70s. And yet he understands that while he yet abides in a telestial schoolroom, the tugs and pulls of this earth and his flesh will have a downward movement on him always. That's just the way it is. Until you become translated and exchange this telestial body of flesh for a translated terrestrial body of flesh, while you're in this world, you will feel the downward tugs and pulls of a dying world. That's just the way it is. So if we understand that concept, we can see, how is it this holy man can say that? My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which do so easily beset me. Anybody relate to this? To this great holy man? I do. Let's go over to another one. Let's go to 2 Nephi chapter 9. Don't you love the Book of Mormon? The Book of Mormon, brothers and sisters, is a handbook on how to receive the second comforter and to be received by him. This is the book. This is not the only record of people who've seen Christ, but this is a record of a people who are alive in Christ. They lived a lesser law. They practiced Aaronic ordinances. And yet with all that, and their society, as a society, were not given as a society the higher law. They had to come up as individuals and obtain something of a standing in what's called the holy order. Now go with me over to verse 2 Nephi 9, verse 41. Oh, let's go to 42. Whoso knocketh, to him will he open. And the wise and the learned, and they that are rich who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches. Did you catch those three things? The learning of the world, the wisdom of the world, and the riches of the world disqualify you from what this verse is going to promise you. Those are the disqualifiers. Let's take an inventory right now and see how we're doing. They that are rich, who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, these are they whom he despiseth. Strong word. Strong word. You have to let that one sink in as we take an inventory of where we're at and what kind of persons we are. Where's your heart? Are you loved, or are you in a situation Not that he despises you, but he despises the unredeemed man and woman that you are, still struggling with the natural flesh. Loves you. Then he goes on and he says, they shall, unless they cast these things away, and watch this, consider themselves fools before God. Come down into the depths of humility. He will not open unto them. Periodically, as a result of the podcast, I'll get a little note that'll say, who are you? And what are your credentials? And I'm just so quick to say, nobody, and I don't have any. And I send that email back. And then another email will come back and say, well, what I mean is, really, because I'm trying to be like Nephi. I want to be in this place where, because of the change that's taken place in my life, and the view that I have of who I am and who he is, and the vast difference between us, the only word that I can think of that fits is fool. And I'm okay with that. Because I know that until I get to that point, I can't go up. Look at the next verse. 43. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid from them forever. Yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. Well, brothers and sisters, all our dear Savior wants from you is your heart. That's all he wants. We're not in competition with each other here. Not a one. Satan wants you to compare. And in the comparison begins the competition. And in the competition comes the pride, and we go astray. It's just one-on-one. Have you ever noticed, like Sister Stroud said, everything the Savior does is one-on-one. How can he do that? So busy. He's so busy. Where he lives, he can spend time with you face-to-face as long as you need, and still maintain control and order over all things. He can do that. You can have a personal audience with him, and everything still remains orderly. I'd like to talk to you tonight about the enemy. I think that of all the podcasts that we did, the ones that have received the most comment were the ones that were done on devils and unclean spirits. Without a doubt, wouldn't you say, Marty, that's the one. And there's a reason for that. Go with me to DNC 24 for a minute, and let's look at just a couple of things. Let's go to verse 13, Doctrine and Covenants, section 24, verse 13. The Lord says, require not miracles, comma, except I shall command you, comma, except. Catch those two excepts. Now here's the one we'll pay attention to. First thing listed, casting out devils. Second thing listed, what? Healing the sick. You ever stop to think that there may be a reason why those are listed that way? Let's go to another one, section 35 of Doctrine and Covenants. Notice the first one listed, casting out devils. Second one listed, healing the sick. Section 35, verse 9. These are just two examples of something you'll find throughout all the scriptures, in the Book of Mormon, in the Doctrine and Covenants, of course, where we're at in the New Testament. Look at verse 9. Whoso shall ask it in my name in faith, they shall cast out devils. Number two, heal the sick. The Gospel of Mark, it says, in my name, signs shall follow those that believe. In my name, they shall, what do you think? Cast out devils and heal the sick. We need to pay attention to that because these people have been operating too long in anonymity. We need to cast light on this. Until we do something about this affliction, you're going to meet stumbling blocks and barriers in your progress. For 30 years, I taught the seminary and institute program, and I thought that casting out devils and unclean spirits, I thought those two groups were two terms referring to the same group. They are not. This is two different groups of people. The one that we refer to as devils run the show in hell. They're the ones that are in charge. They're the movers and shakers. They are the ones who are malevolent and murderous. I've seen them. I don't want to see them again. What I saw caused me so much trauma that I couldn't get over it for days and days, maybe a couple weeks. We need to know that they're there. The devils control the unclean spirits. The devils are the third part who are cast out. Their aprons are black. No life, no family, no wife, no children. The unclean spirits are men and women who have lived on the earth and died in their sins. Either they knew better and rebelled against the principle of repentance and the atonement of Christ, or they didn't know better and simply lived and died, taking with them their addictions, their compulsions, their desires, appetites, and passions, and finding themselves unembodied in another world, still having those same addictions, compulsions, desires, and appetites intensified. This is something the prophets have talked about, the early brethren. When you lay the body down and you go into the spirit realm, that person that you are, good and bad, your attributes and your addictions are intensified and enhanced. And it has something to do with being without the physical body. It appears that these unclean spirits, it's my feeling, the devils have no care for things of a sexual matter because they've never had a physical body. It's my feeling that the devils are more interested in control and slavery and power. But the unclean spirits are still operating with their addictions and compulsions. And so what they do, they have found out quickly and are taught by the devils that they can find a release from these afflictions by taking them out on mortals still in the telestial world. It's not enough to satisfy, but it is enough to keep them coming back for more. My experience, and this is Mike Stroud, I take them and put them into three categories. what is just we call the common influence of these spirits that are here, because we live in their realm. This is their world. You're in hell. The celestial world is not a kingdom of glory yet. You're in a hell place. You're in the realm of these spirits who are in rebellion or are caught up in addiction and don't know what to do with it except afflict you. Most of the unclean spirits I've found are not malicious, murderous, or malevolent. They can be nasty sometimes, but most of them are just flat confused. Just confused. All of the emotions that we see in this life, anger, frustration, depression, discouragement, suicide, anything that's negative that we see in humankind in this world, they continue to experience in the spirit. And you pick up on those emotions. You ever had anger come out of nowhere for no reason and just settle on you and not know what the heck is going on? Devils have no respect for the agency of God's children in this world. None. They intrude. They are trespassers. They are interlopers. And they come where they're not wanted. Unclean spirits also. All of these groups. The only difference is unclean spirits still have the gift of repentance available to them. They can turn. Some of these who afflict us in the flesh, after having been dealt with priesthood power and teaching the doctrine of Christ, without railing accusation, you got to look that one up, but with love in your heart and charity, many of these persons repent and instead of being your tormentors, are now enlisted as your guardians. So what do we do about this? They're hidden in this anonymity. The more they can remain cloaked in mystery and lack of knowledge, the happier they are. So, brothers and sisters, brethren, you need to wake up. We need you. There are people all around you, you perhaps yourself, that have either an influence, an attachment, or a possession. That's the three words that I use to describe their involvement with mortals in the celestial world. Just being here, you're going to be under their influence because that's just a part of being here. However, they can attach themselves to you. It's almost, I picture, like a Velcro, you know. One piece is you and the other piece is them. And they just more or less are with you all the time. That's where you start to get into trouble. You find that it becomes more difficult for you to make correct choices, and you end up being more confused because of their influence in your life. If you continue to make the wrong choices, they go from an attachment to a possession and right through the crown of the head, go inside your body and take over. Now you've got them inside you. And for all intents and purposes, your spirit now becomes, as the Book of Mormon says, subject to that evil one who fell from the presence of God and became the devil to rise no more. We got to get these guys out. You can't use general priesthood ordinance language and get specific results. So we need to educate ourselves. There is no reason for us at this time in this world to be ignorant of these things. There's no reason. You have the greatest general social Urim and Thummim ever found among mankind called the Internet. Now true evil and good comes. You can get everything on that. You just have to spend some time. Go back and read what the early brethren had to say about this. It was, you ready for this? In their conferences, in their church meetings, it was the number one topic discussed among the members of the church in those days. And you can see it, section 50 and other sections in the Doctrine and Covenants were given to deal with this phenomenon that Joseph Smith shed light on after 2,000 years of darkness and a lost knowledge of who these people are, what do they want, and how do we deal with them? What do we do about it? So you need to avail yourself of that. Brethren, we need you to become informed and rise up in the power of your priesthood. One of the first things that you'll do as you start to exercise that magnificent power will be to liberate those who are afflicted with unclean spirits and devils. Got to do it. There are people in this room right now that are severely handicapped because of this. There are people who've been delivered and will tell you the difference. How are we going to do this, brethren? How are we going to do this? Right now, the power that fights against us is so massive, and there are so few who will raise up and pronounce a blessing, not pray over somebody. There's a difference between praying over somebody and standing up and pronouncing a blessing. By the authority of the priesthood, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and use those words, depart, and come not hither again. Your wives and your children are suffering, many of them. You'd be surprised how many phone calls and text messages that I get from sisters who recognize this affliction within the family and are just desperate to see it stopped and don't know what to do. So we get on the phone and we talk to husbands and we try to give scripture passages. I'm no guru on this. I don't profess to be anything, but I know what the brethren taught in the early days. And we need to just do what they were doing. We need to be bold and yet not overbearing. We need to stand up and rebuke, but not with a railing accusation. We need to be filled with the love of Christ so that we can approach these people because that's who they are. I don't care if you call them a demon or a devil or an unclean spirit. They're people. And it's organized intelligence. And its purpose is to captivate and enslave God's children. And they need to be redeemed and liberated. You anoint with oil. You seal that anointing. You pronounce a blessing. And you address these people as the Spirit directs, specifically and directly. And the Lord will teach you, brethren. There's no handbook on this. But if you'll step out and do this, God will reveal to you through His Holy Spirit who it is that you're dealing with, what words you should say, and with time and experience, like all other gifts of the Spirit, you will become more perfected in this. We got to start, brethren. If I can't talk to this group, whose foreordination and destiny is to be translated, who can we talk to about? This is critical. And we need to do something about it. So step out. have courage. You don't have to be perfect. You just need to have a desire to serve God. And if you have a desire, you're called to the work. And He will sustain you in that desire and that effort. But we've got to start. And it's got to start right here. Zion will not be redeemed by any of you that have not control through priesthood power over evil spirits and devils. He won't do it. You won't be a part of it. Because part of that is going to be able to cast out, to invite, to leave, to release, to deal with all kinds of things that can only be discerned through the power of the Holy Spirit, because there's no books written on this. You have to be taught by the Spirit. Now, let me talk to you about the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, for a minute. It's another question that I get all the time. Brother Stroud, are you one of those apostates? Why? Because I teach the doctrine of Christ from the Book of Mormon? Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing right now. Because that doesn't measure up to some people's thinking, that then becomes their test. Scriptures tell me that the Lord's going to do a strange work. And a strange act. Well, you don't have to wait for that to start. It's happening right now. 2 Nephi 30 says there will be a great division among the people. You don't have to look for that in the future. It's going on right now. There's no reason for anybody to leave the church. There's absolutely no reason. If you're contemplating that, or if you've done that, it's because your view is skewed. You're not seeing it. You've bought some traditions that have come down in the last 180 years and that we have embraced as truth. As soon as you shed some of those traditions you thought were true, your view changes of the church, its mission, the people in it, and you find no fault. I was talking to the author of the Perfect Day blog the other day. You followed that blog? Marvelous, the Perfect Day. Perfect Day comes from section 50, and the Perfect Day is to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and be received of Him. That's the perfect day. And he and I were talking about the events that we see taking place throughout the world right now, and we were marveling about how many people are making a choice to have their names removed from the membership of the church or to take a walk. And we talked back and forth and said if they had the correct view of what the church's mission and purpose is, and not find fault with the flaws of men and telestial mortal institutional mistakes, you would never walk away. If you stop to think about it, if you're like me and I were to walk away, I would leave the one thing that has brought me everything I know up to this point. How stupid is that? Why would you do that? It's the baby with the bathwater. You just need to change your view and understand that the church is designed to do certain things. It operates in an ironic, preparatory, foundational level. And the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ is to bring you out of the world into this organization by covenant, establish your feet on a foundation, and then get you to the temple where the fun really begins. And so for the members of the church that never make it to the temple, the purpose of your membership is void. You're baptized by water, which Joseph Smith says begins the baptismal ordinance, but you might as well baptize a bag of sand as to baptize by water without the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost and the other greater ordinances that are associated with a greater portion of the Word. If you understand that, you understand what the purpose of the church is. I love the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I have no illusions. I understand that God always has and always will work with flawed men in this world. And it doesn't take anything away from Him who knows all things and does things in His wisdom. Nothing. In wrapping up tonight, I'd just like to testify to you how grateful I am to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I pray for the brethren. Boy, that's a tough place. You think you could do any better? I pray for my stake president. Pray for my bishop. But I understand it's me and the Savior. And He employs no servant between us. I have great guides and directors in prophets and apostles, stake presidents and bishops and teachers, parents, friends, great guides and directors. What they do is they say this, Mike, I'm not him. He's over there. Picture with me a little story. Back to my perfect day blog person. You thought I'd forgotten that, got sidetracked. I was talking to him and he said, he's up in Idaho, and he said this. Picture a big old Idaho potato field out there, all you Idaho folks out there, right? You're on one side of the potato field, you're looking across this other, and it's all green and everything. All of a sudden, on a dirt road, you see a pickup truck coming from your left. It's one of those Idaho pickup trucks, you know? And it comes down and stops right straight across from you in the field. And you look at that, you can see the driver, but you can't make it out, and you wonder what he's doing. The driver reaches over and opens up the passenger side of the door, which opens facing you, and you look in and you see, well, it's the Savior driving that truck. And as you're marveling about this, he goes like this, waves for you to come over. So you walk through that field, wondering what this is all about. You get up there and he says, come on in. You climb into the passenger seat. He says, shut the door. And you shut the door. And he said, now, where would you like me to take us? Notice who's in the driver's seat. If we get a feel that we can trust Him to take us where He knows we need to go and surrender our will to His timing and His way, while He'll do everything you need. You don't need a list. All you need to do is simply follow that Spirit, which is the voice of Christ speaking to you, and it will take you every step of the way without missing one thing to where you need to go that is unique to you, and only He knows it. Well, brothers and sisters, there are translated beings on the earth right now. The day's here. They've always been on the earth, but there is an increase right now. There are people who are coming down from the city of Enoch. They can see us. They know the time is here. Can you feel it? It's a sense of urgency, but no haste, because the establishment of Zion will not be done in haste. Isn't that a paradox? Urgency, but no haste. It's done in orders. These beings are coming down from the city of Enoch and are appearing to men and women who are awake and aware of their mission. There are covenants, ordinances, and ordinations involved with the process. If you've always had an interest in this and you feel drawn to it, it's because this is your future. I honestly believe that we're looking at a group of gatherers. What's another name for gatherers? The 144,000. I was talking to a man who has some special information about translation. We were talking about the use of portals and how they move through portals. You want to find out more on that? Pull out Spencer's book again, dust it off, take a look. There's some real stuff in there. And he said, Mike, here's how it works. My ears went, whoop. You'll call up that portal and you'll move through it as assigned by the Savior. It belongs to you. It's yours. And as you step through that, you'll find yourself in a dirty, dark little street in Germany. And in the darkness, you'll hear some crying, some sobbing, and you'll follow that. You've been sent there on that mission. You're in the exact right place, doing what you need to do. And you'll see a little 11-year-old girl down behind the garbage cans in the dark, weeping and scared, fearing for her life, hungry. You'll speak to her in English and she'll understand you perfectly in German. She'll speak to you in German and you'll understand her perfectly in English. You'll take her to a place where she can be safe, where there's no more anyone to hurt nor make afraid. And as you deliver her to that place of safety, and you see her stepping away from you, mission accomplished, as she turns around to thank you, you won't be there because you simply stepped back through the portal. You think you can come to that point and still embrace Babylon? You think you can come to that point and maintain and hide your pornography addiction? There are quite a few in here that have that are trying to hide it. Why do you hide something from Him who sees everything? Why don't you admit that you're a victim in a battlefield, and that you're temporarily missing in action, because that's what you are. You're not wicked. You're not evil. You're wounded. And you need help. Satan will influence you to remain hidden in the dark and lie. Step forward. don't forfeit your destiny. It's the time now. I testify to you of the reality of Jesus Christ. He who says, be cheerful, is cheerful. He says, be not troubled, nor afraid. But until you come to him and consider yourself a fool, he will not open to you, and you will not obtain. One of the great revelations I had this week is one of the most simple ones I've ever seen in my life before. I don't know what you think when you think of the second comforter and what your expectations and your vision of that is. How many times in the Book of Mormon do we see the phrase or hear the phrase or read it, come unto me, right? Come unto me. It isn't I'll come to you. That's once in John over in the 14th chapter. But throughout all the scripture, you see the Savior with his arms out inviting you to what? Come to him. And that's what's more likely going to happen. When you see him, even though he can come to you and does, you're in a telestial world. He is the Lord God of the terrestrial world, and his Father is the King of the celestial world. And even though they can come here, it's more likely that you'll be taken to them. Come unto me and be received by them. I've learned that one of the things that they enjoy most is they enjoy surprising their children with things that they least expected to get them at the time they least expected to come. Heaven just rejoices in bestowing gifts like that. They're not far away. And it's us, our false traditions, our precepts, philosophies of men mingled with Scripture that keep us here, and they wait and long for us to come to them. I testify the truthfulness of that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Messiah. Amen. Let's stand up for a minute, take a little break, stand up, and then... we'll do that, but let's just let them stand up for a minute. Take a break here. That's a long time to sit.
Do we know each other?
Oh, I know Donnie.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
I talked to our son.
You look so familiar.
Hey.
So right now, after this,
hello, everyone. I'm the guy over there behind the camera and the computers. I look like this. Okay. So the next part is a Q&A. So how's that going to work there? I don't know exactly how many people are here, but there's 450 people online watching right now. Peaked out at 458 concurrent people. So they might rival everyone here at the time. So anyway, they're asking questions in the chat room, and then there's people here also asking questions. So what we're going to do a little tag team. Somebody here ask a question, somebody there. Well, then we'll read one of their questions, and then back and forth. So we'll just take turns. So if... if that person asks a question, the next person will be here. So then just kind of queue up a little bit, sacrament, testimony meeting style, like one or two. And then if there's a lull, we'll take a couple questions online. So anyway, thanks a lot.
Okay, Shelley says that we'll take question and answers for 15 minutes. Here's the microphone right up here. You can come up. First of all, let me say, I am not the font of all knowledge, so be prepared to hear, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with this, but we're going to do it anyway and see where it goes, okay? Now, I'm deaf. You see, I'm wearing two hearing aids up here, and I left my little controls down in my friend's house. So you must speak up,
yes, sir.
Right?
Yes,
especially
sir.
Women's voices. Don't. My wife says it's selective hearing, but I. Okay, let's try it and see what we've got.
I want to know how ultimately we gain power to overcome either the evil or unclean spirits attached to depression.
Well, my experience is that the depression, in fact, I feel that depression, discouragement, I'm not going to say that there isn't such a thing as chemical imbalances, and there isn't such a thing as bipolarism. I'm not going to say that, but I believe, this is Mike Stroud, 16, verse 4, that the vast majority of these afflictions that we hear about, the people who are taking medicine after medicine after medicine, are a direct result of the influence of these beings. They need to be released and sent away. The Spirit will teach you how you say that. Now, it's not enough for you just to release them. There's a parable in Matthew 12. That's just three verses long. Talks about a spirit being cast out of its house, going to and fro in the earth, after a while comes back, finds the house empty, swept and garnished, takes seven other spirits worse than he in, and the fate of that person in the latter state is worse than the first. What's to be learned from that parable? You got to pull the weeds and plant the flowers. You can't just create a void and expect that it's going to stay that way. One of the things that I do when I am asked to administer to somebody is I teach them the doctrine. I teach them the doctrine of Christ. I don't die. I'm not in a rush to get in and lay my hands. I take the scripture and let me go through the scriptures. And then I teach them that I need to have your permission to invite beings of light to come in. Because whereas these negative persons care nothing about the agency of man, God's emissaries and true messengers must have your permission. They need to be invited and given permission to come in. So I ask the person right there, after I've explained that, do I have your permission to invite these people to come in? And they need to say yes. So once we get rid of these beings, and here's something else, brother says, you can't expect that this is going to be a one-time fix-all forever. Otherwise, what's the purpose of the telestial world? What's the purpose of mortality? You're going to continue to fight these beings. What we're trying to do is level the playing field and give you an edge. Give you some breathing room. Come up out of the dark, catch a little sunshine, take a deep breath, put on your armor, and get back in the fight. But when you're down KIA or MIA, when you're not standing, the word in the scriptures is stand. And if you're down in the battle, you're no good. You're not doing any good. So we need to get you some first aid, get you standing up. Angels, the spirits of just men made perfect, and women, your ancestors, guardians, all of the guardian angels that watch over you, and there are more than one, they're all your family. They're your family. They are not strangers. These are your ancestors who have been here before you. And these are those who are yet to be born that are coming into your family line. And you're in the battle, and they are extremely interested in your welfare, because those that have gone on, you're doing something that is going to eternally bless their lives. And those who are coming, they want to make sure that the place they come for or come to gives them a fair shake on their time in the earth. You may have to do this more than once. So just remember, if all you had to do was once, it would negate the purpose of this experience. That's why we need to be able to do this. Did that help?
Thank you very much.
My first question online, if you have been called to the 144,000 already, will you know that you have been called?
You'll know by the Spirit. I have a hunch that a lot of you have not received your official calling or ordination, because it's an ordinance and it comes under the hands of heavenly beings. You'll know it when it happens to you. It will come from the other side of the veil, or from those on this side of the veil who have been authorized and hold the proper keys to do that. And those on this side of the veil who are still mortals in this world that have that authority to perform that, got it from translated beings and heavenly beings. They've received that ordination with a charge now when the Lord says to ordain and to administer these ordinances and covenants to others. They're here. The Constitution of Zion is Moses chapter 7, verse 18. This is the Constitution of Zion and the New Jerusalem. And the Lord called his people Zion because they were of one heart and one mind and dwelled in righteousness, and there was no poor among them. There are covenants associated with this calling. The covenants are chastity, purity are two of them, and you'll have to find out what the third one is. It's waiting for you. Did that help? Go ahead.
Thank you for being here. My name is Daniel Christensen.
Hi, Daniel.
I'm a full-time student at University of Utah. I'm 24 years old, and I have a statement and then leads to a question. My statement is, seems like every day when I get on Facebook or Instagram, whatever, I see friends, family, and close people that I know, associates, that they leave the church and they pronounce that they don't need the church or whatsoever. My question to you is, will they come back? That's one. And how can I avoid falling off the wagon, so to speak, and be one of those that are deceived? Does that make sense, the question?
That makes sense. Let's go to section 45, the Doctrine and Covenants. Section 45 is the center scripture for all the podcasts. You should have this memorized by now if you've been listening to them. We're going to go over to verse 55. This gives you a content and context of where we're at in the following two verses. Satan shall be bound, that he shall have no place in the hearts of the children of men. That's the millennial third terrestrial estate that's coming up. Now watch this. At that day, what day? When the millennium begins. Daniel, you're witnessing things that prophets for 6,000 years have seen in vision and have longed to be where you're at. And you need not be afraid. You go forward in faith as long as you do one thing. That's these scriptures talk about. Watch. At that day when I shall come in my glory, that's the second coming, shall the parable be fulfilled, which I spake concerning the 10 virgins. You know that. We won't go through that. Here's your key. You want to get through today, from today, into the millennial world with an inheritance in that world. We all want that, right? We want to successfully complete the callings and missions that the Lord has in store for us to help others do the same. Here's what you must do. They that are wise, remember the five wise and the five foolish. This is the wise. Have received the truth. No easy thing in this world. This part. And have taken the Holy Spirit for their guide. Now watch the next part. Verily I say unto you, here we go, Daniel. They are they who shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire, but shall abide the day. Abide means to live in, to take up residence. What day? It's the day between now and the second coming of the Lord, which is going to be very, very tricky to navigate. In fact, you won't navigate it unless you've done this. Here's the two keys to get from here to there. Receive the truth. You can ponder that. I'll give you a little key on that in a minute that I was taught by a holy man. And take the Holy Spirit for your guide. What about this truth? How can you tell that it's true? A man that I love dearly, who's listening to this, taught me this principle. He said, Mike, truth prevails. I'm going to write that down. This is one of those little gems, Daniel. This is for you. Truth prevails. Look up that word. See what that means. Falsehoods dim and die. There's no prevailing in untruth. So when you come across something that is new to you, that kind of slaps you and you go, whoa, be slow to reject out of hand. Just because it's something you haven't heard before or understand, you can't be like the saints in the days of Joseph where he says they put up stakes. That's boundaries. They built walls around them and said, I'll go so far and no further. And then they die and in the resurrection find out their mistake. You don't want to do that. And yet, you want to be open, but you want to be wise and prudent. Prudent means cautious. Don't be afraid of being deceived. You're already deceived. Fear of deception is deception. Fear of being deceived effectively stops you. Don't be afraid. Be faithful. Move forward in confidence. Let the doctrine of the priesthood distill upon you as the dews from heaven and move forward. But the answer, Daniel, to your question is, the only answer is, you must learn how to receive personal revelation and take that as your guide. You must become practiced in that. The only way I know that you can become more perfected in that is to make mistakes along the way and learn from your mistakes. Now, set it on the shelf. If something's new and you just go, oh my gosh, I don't know about that. Well, don't throw it away. Set it up on the shelf knowing that if it's true, it will prevail. And when you revisit it, it will have a resonance. It will still be there as bright and undimmed as it was when you placed it up there. Do you ever wonder why Nephi said in the Book of Mormon the brass plates would be bright and would never lose their, never become dimmed in time? It's because they contain truth. And truth shineth. Section 88. Truth shineth. That's a physical property of truth. That's not an allegory or symbolic. If truth is physically perceived, it's perceived in light and heat. We got it all wrong when we say it's hot as hell. We got it backwards. Hell's cold. Heaven's hot. God dwells in everlasting burnings. Okay? So, Daniel, did that help? Take the Holy Spirit, please.
Thanks for doing our homework for us, Mike. speak to the power of women to cast out devils. And then also, tell us what you can about using the keys we learn in the temple for the true order of prayer.
Okay. Well, I got in trouble with this on some podcasts. I had a couple of men get downright upset with me. They said that I was a female chauvinist. Not male, female chauvinist. I said, what? What? And here's my feelings on that. It's not a matter of one being better than another. It's a matter of roles. It's a matter of who you are. Sisters, my opinion is you're not trying to become like Father. You're seeking to become like Mother. Brethren, you're seeking to become like Father. Father and Mother together are a whole. If you want to see God, if God was to appear to you tonight, you know what you would see? A man and a woman. Him standing out in front, her in the back? I'll tell you not. Okay? Well, in the temple, we hear Adam awake and arise. You notice that's not said to the sisters. Adam awake and arise. See? So, brethren, there's nothing in eternity more glorious than a glorified, exalted, perfected man. But he can't do it without a woman. Can't do it. Women's nature, by nature, is sacrificial. And the symbol of blood and sacrifice is with a woman throughout her life. She gives up everything when she comes into the celestial world, including her own name. And for the rest of her life is a life of sacrifice for others. Men, we're by nature selfish. This isn't bad. Don't put the rocks down. Okay? This isn't bad. It's just a part of the plan. There's something that we need to learn in this world that we need priesthood to help us learn it. Priesthood, brethren, my feeling, is to help you learn to sacrifice, which is difficult for men. Now, we have other wonderful attributes, protecting, knowledge. But priesthood is to help us do that. As to what's in the temple, I can't talk to any degree on that other than Brigham Young in the 70s book that was given in the Nauvoo Temple told us that the keys of the priesthood are in the signs of the priesthood. That the keys of the priesthood are in the signs of the priesthood. And that in the signs of the priesthood, you receive an endowment that gives you keys to understand past, present, and future. Every person here who's been to the temple and has received their endowment blessings have received keys that when authorized by God will allow you to inquire into and receive information concerning things from the past, the present, and the future. Let me just say also, brethren, that one of the things we need to do is you need to be practicing using your priesthood in minor ways to see how element responds to your entreaties. Someday in the future, you're going to receive something called the fullness of the Melchizedek priesthood. That's a required thing for you to have in order to be one of the 144,000 men. Women can also be a part of the 144,000 and will be. When you receive the fullness of the priesthood, men become kings and high priests. Priests and women become queens and priestesses. And that's about all I can say on that right now. That's what you need to take this to Father and say, what is this fullness of the Melchizedek priesthood? Go into the internet. Google that up. Bring it up. Do some research. And when you feel like you have sufficient knowledge, then go to the Father in the name of His Son and start to inquire and plead to obtain and receive. There is a law in heaven, brothers and sisters. It's an eternal law. Almost without exception, answers to questions are never given unless the question's asked. We need to learn to ask and ask a lot. You should have a list of questions that you can take in your prayers to Heavenly Father. You let the Spirit give these. And when you part the veil and you stand in the presence of those persons on the other side, you want to have a list of things to ask them. At that point, when you're there and you say, oh my, I'm here, and you can't remember one thing to ask, you want to be prepared for that because that's what you're striving to do. So prepare now, ask the questions, have them written out, taken to Him now in prayer and in fasting, receive answers through the Holy Spirit, and be prepared also to ask those questions when you see as you're seen and hear as you're heard. Okay? That's about all I can say. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, next question. In podcast 001, you talked about how to know the voice of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, how to identify them. But what about our own voice?
What about angels?
Our own voice. Voice of the Spirit, voice of the Holy Ghost, but what about our own voice?
Well, I would refer you to John Pontius's book called Following the Light of Christ into His Presence. He deals with that much better than I could. It's just that there are three voices that we're dealing with all the time. The voice of your own mind, the voice of righteousness and goodness, and the voice of evil. And we've gone over that to some degree in the podcast. Let me just say that you can tell the voice of the Spirit. Joseph Smith said this, it will whisper peace. Here's your number one thing. It will whisper peace and happiness. Now, happiness starts to get questionable because happiness can also be counterfeited by the devil. Peace is the one thing, in my experience, that cannot be counterfeited by the devil. And Joseph came out and said, it will remove hatred, greed, and malice from your heart. This is how you recognize the voice of the Spirit. And your whole desire will be to do good to your fellow man. So let me say those things again. Here we go. This is how you recognize this. Peace. I gave a blessing to a lady that was just wrought upon by evil. So laid my hands on her head. I talked about this in the podcast. I just could hardly keep her to sit still. After the blessing, it didn't seem to get any better, and I got a little nervous. I thought, this isn't going to work. What am I going to do now? Shows where my faith was. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit just said, reach over her shoulder. Put a hand on her head. Reach over her shoulder. Take hold of her hand and say this word, peace. The Spirit said, say it again. Peace. One more time. Peace. And all movement stopped. She went down in her chair. It was like this huge weight. I watched the peace of the Master descend upon her. Irrefutable evidence of the presence of angels and the Holy Ghost. Here they are again. Peace, happiness, take away hatred, greed, malice, and your whole desire will be to do good. Well, brothers and sisters, I think that's it for the night. Thank you so much. I hope that this has been helpful. I love you, and I am so happy to be one of you. I love my Father in heaven. He is so gracious and kind, merciful. I love his beloved Son, Jesus. I only want to do what's right. I'm nobody. I'm grateful that this has happened. This has happened, and I can still feel a depth of humility and love for my Savior. I've not been captured by that pride. I pray that I can always remain in a state of grace, and you too, having broken hearts and a contrite spirit. I pray for all of us in the name of Jesus to give us humility, meekness, and lowliness of heart, to love the unlovable, to be slow to anger and quick to forgive, to have our views changed by the atonement of Christ, to be filled with the charity of God, pure love of His Son, so that we see each other and all others as they do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master and Redeemer. Amen.